Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're always welcome. And somebody else who's always welcome is our good friend Chuck Martin. Chuck's an old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Tough Management, which is an outstanding book on management. He's also the author of Coffee at Luna's, which is a great business fable. He's the author of the new book, Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? Chuck is also the chairman and CEO of NFI Research, a top management research firm, and you've heard him on the show many times before. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Oh, always great to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And one of the things that we want to talk about today, I know that you want to talk about our innate strengths and weaknesses, but you do a survey every 2 weeks of your community of respondents, and you ask them different things every 2 weeks, don't you?
Yeah, we've now surveyed these people every 2 weeks for 8 years.
Wow.
Without skipping a beat. So we have a lot of benchmark information as well. So we'll look at things like the workplace issues of today. What are the biggest annoyances in work? What does your hiring look like for the next 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
What's your optimism level of business for the next 12 months? And we can benchmark these year to year because several of them we do the same survey each year. Like the future of the economy, for example. So we know where things are going because these are the people who actually manage the businesses. They're setting the budgets. They're small, medium, and large businesses. We have a cross-section, and they're only senior executives and managers. So these are the people basically in charge.
And and you do this every 2 weeks, and what have they been telling you lately?
Oh, my gosh. We just did some things on distractions at work, the crisis of the day. What are causing the crisis of the day? Well, mainly, we did the second one because of the first one. One of the top distractions at work is the crisis of the day. So we wanted to know what are the sources of the crisis of the day. So a lot of our surveys trigger new surveys.
Were you able to determine if the crisis of the day was a true crisis or was it something that could have been foreseen?
For the most part, there are things that could have been foreseen by advanced planning. And we see this all the time, by the way. What's happening in the workplace today is everybody is so heads down. I mean, we know from our research that people working 10-plus hours a week, that basically has come off their work, their home life, basically, their personal life. They're coming in earlier. They're staying later. They're taking less time for breaks. And as a result, they're flat out. So what happens is they tend to miss things, and this gets back to the whole cognitive function of smarts, where people are basically hardwired with specific cognitive functions, or they're called executive skills, although they have nothing to do with executives. It's how the brain executes, essentially. And whatever your makeup is will determine how you deal with these things as they come through in the course of the day.
Are most of us so hardwired to react, and we become conditioned to believe that our role in life is to react, that we can't allow ourselves the luxury of being proactive?
Well, it depends on how a person is hardwired. Some people are like that and some are not. That gets to the specific 12 skills are things like time management, flexibility, but one of them is called observation. Observation is the ability to stand back and basically after you go through something, you look at how can I do this better. Another one is planning prioritization. This is essentially being able to have a roadmap to get to a goal. Well, if you're high in those two skills, you would tend to plan pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to typically get caught by essentially the crisis of the day, because you would very naturally be planning the next 2 days, next few weeks, next few months. If you're low in those specific skills, and everyone is high in two or three of them, and they're low in two or three of them, that's typical. And the rest are in the middle; they don't matter. But if you're low in those, you're going to be you'll be making the same mistake over and over again. And the crisis of the day, you'll be dealing with virtually all day. For example, in the biggest distraction in the workplace today, number one by a lot, is email. Well, if you are low in the skill of, say, focus and task initiation, you're not going to be able to stay focused on getting through your email, and you might put it off until a long time. All of a sudden, you've got so much email, it's overwhelming.
Right.
People now spend two or more hours a day doing email at work.
Hold on to that thought, Chuck. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to talk to Chuck about some of the reasons why I think small business owners get into the reactive trap instead of being more proactive. It's all about whether they think they're a manager and what they think about themselves as managers. And we're going to come back after these messages with our good friend Chuck Martin. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Yeah, baby, she's got it.
Has come. And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Chuck Martin. He is the author of Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? Are you, ladies and gentlemen, are you hardwired for success? And Chuck, as we went to the break, I indicated that I was going to talk about some of the things that I think are problems for small business owners. You know, Chuck, and you probably know about this, when we start our businesses, many of us, we're the only person in the business. Day one, you know, we're just, you know, even if we hire employees fairly quickly, at the moment of inception, it's just us. And there's so many things that we do ourselves. Even after if we go into business for a while, and maybe we take a year or a few months or a year or two or three, whatever, before we hire an employee, or before we hire many employees, even after that, many times we do so many of the tasks of the business, and the rubber meets the road tasks of the business. And so I believe that kind of conditioning, those kinds of experiences, Chuck, prevent a lot of small business owners, even if once they get into, you know, 10, 20, 30 employees, it makes it difficult for them to think of the management role, the importance of the management role, which is where you actually don't do anything maybe for 2 hours. You actually just observe and make notes and think. Maybe a whole day you just think about where's the company going. That's hard for a lot of small business owners.
Well, it's actually extremely hard. And this gets back to this whole idea of the whole notion of being hardwired. The executive skills, these 12 cognitive functions that everybody has, there are certain executive skills that are high in for being the entrepreneur, for starting the business. There are different executive skill strengths that are required for running the business, which is why oftentimes the person who starts the company and is brilliant at starting the company. This is some phenomenal idea, and as you said, they did everything and got it going, and then they're disastrous at running it once it gets bigger.
Because they can't deal with the diaper changing of the business, can they?
Happens is everyone has two or three skills that are their strongest of these executive skills, and they are not they're not changeable once you reach adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is your skills remain the same. Your cognitive functions, this is the frontal lobes of the brain, obviously. Your cognitive functions remain the same. The job evolves. So this is why we knew one example where there was, and we have this in the book Smarts, where the number two there was a number two person hired in this organization, which was relatively small, and the person was perfect for 10 years as number two. I was perfect.
Right.
Well, over time, the organization got a lot bigger, they went global, and all of a sudden, the person was a total mismatch for the job, because the job was required to be much more strategic,
right.
Which is what you were describing. You had to look long-term, think, and ultimately, they had to move the person out of that job, when only previously, the guy was brilliant at doing the job, and he didn't understand, well, I did this job perfectly for 10 years, how can I be a failure now? Well, because the job evolves. And that's what happens with a small business. As it gets bigger and bigger, the role of the head of the organization evolves, which is why sometimes as these companies get bigger, the founder will bring in, say, a COO from an established company who's familiar with process. Typically, someone starting, if someone is involved in a startup, an entrepreneurial kind of, you know, just get it going, they typically would be high in the executive skills of flexibility, which allows them to kind of move from thing to thing, observation, so they can really step back and look at how to do it better, and defining and achieving goals, which is basically the ability to set a goal, follow through, no matter what gets in the way, you just go through it to the end. Well, once you're running it, someone running the business should be high in different kinds of skills, task initiation, organization. Typically, someone who started a company may not be high in organization, but they may be really high in flexibility. They may not be high in time management, but it might be required that somebody be high in time management to keep the place running on time, to get
and folks,
up to deal with the customers.
The reason why I want you to understand these things that Chuck's talking about is because these are things, all of these things that Chuck's talking about and the others that we haven't mentioned yet are reasons why you are either doing really well in some areas and not well in other areas, or you're being successful or you're not being successful. And it's because we all have these, you know, you've heard us talking about it before with Chuck and also with other people who talk about these things. These are very important indicators. These are very important markers of who we are. And if you're aware of your, as you call them, your strengths and your weaknesses, Chuck, if you're aware of those things, then you can focus your attention, your energy on the things that you're really good at, and you can hire people to do the things that you're not so good at.
That's absolutely the solution. What people tend to do is they try to fix people. And it's essentially executive skills in your brain, these 12 functions. It's like your height. You may have a company that needed people who are all 5'7", and over time, the company needs people who are 5'9", or needs some who are 5'9". Well, you're not going to make yourself 5'9", you're 5'7". You can stretch all you want, but you'll be 5'7". And it's the same thing. For example, sales versus sales management. I mean, everyone knows the salesperson who got promoted into management was a disaster.
Right, right.
Sales requires the executive skills of flexibility to deal with customers, emotion control, remain cool with customers, in defining achieving goals, basically find that end target, the sale, and get to it. Sales management, on the other hand, requires planning, prioritization,
right,
the roadmap, organization, time management.
And analysis. It's a very analytical job. And
that's
being
totally
the best
different
salesperson in the company has very little to do with analysis. Stand
that's
by
right.
10 till. We're going to be right back with Chuck Martin. He is the author of Smarts. Are We Hardwired for Success? Available wherever books are sold. Tintel, stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show in MP3 format, by the way, folks. You can listen to it streaming. You can download it. You can subscribe to it. You can take it into your possession. We'll give you fair use possession of our archives to use as you like. And so I hope you check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. And remember, the newsletter has a whole new look now. We had a whole new way of delivering it, and so I hope you check it out and take advantage of that. It is free. And, of course, our blog is as well. And also, by the way, there are thousands of archives of past shows, like the one we're doing right now with Chuck and the ones we've done with him in the past. And, of course, then we have our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Chuck Martin is the author of Smarts, Are We Hardwired for Success? And Chuck, give us your website, please.
It's www.nfiresearch.com.
NFIresearch.com. They can find the books there, can't they?
Yes.
All of Chuck's books. Okay, Chuck. What's the first step? If we were taking the very... Let's just say I've already got a business and I'm having some success, but I've got a little bit of pain. I got a little frustration, and I'm not sure why. And of course, it can't be me. It can't be anything that I've done. It can't be.
Yeah, never.
It can't be any shortcoming that I may have because I'm darn near perfect. But what would you suggest the quickest way, if I were following the steps in your book, what would be the quickest way to get to the point where I might have a revelation about where I'm stuck?
Well, the very first thing to do is to do a self-evaluation and determine what are your two or three strengths and what are your two or three weaknesses. Then you can plot essentially an entire career path from there.
How do I get to the point where I find my strengths first? Because that's what I like.
Well, you can. Well, you do the questionnaire in the book. We have the instrument. It's called. It's a psychological profile, and you answer these questions, and it tells you very. It tells you instantly. If anybody wants to do, we have these a paper-based instrument. If anyone emails me, I'll send them one for free, and they can just do it right there on the spot. They don't have to get the book.
All right,
my
go ahead. And
probably kill
what is that email address? Is
Chuck@nfiresearch.com.
So, folks, take advantage of that. Thank you for that, Chuck.
Well,
but also you can find it in the book, and so we take this little.
So once you know that, and you're say you're running the small business, you say okay, these are my strengths. So then you actually measure the job function. You see, because we have
what is an example of what one of my strengths might be? Organization.
You might be. I'll give you a couple because you really should have more.
Would I recognize these answers?
Oh yes. If you typically. You're probably high in observation personally, actually. I'm just knowing you a bit. But one would be time management. And time management, you basically, it's not that you're always just on time. You actually, your brain actually calculates time accurately. So when someone says, when will you be there? So I'll be there at 2:15. Your brain actually has factored in traffic automatically without you knowing it. And you're there at 2:15.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's low in time management, they're chronically late. And they swear they could have made it on time. They're late for the project. They don't come to meetings on time. And you can go to 10 time management courses. If that's your weakest skill, it'll still be your weakest skill.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you say, okay, for if the head of a small business is low in time management, chances are the entire company runs late.
Exactly, and that's a kiss of death.
Oh, people. Well, someone.
You better find somebody. You better find a Nazi.
Crazy.
You better find a Nazi who can come in there and get everybody on time.
That's right. And what you do is, if you're running the small business and you find out you're low in time management, you have an assistant or someone else say, okay, your job is to make me on time.
Mm-hmm.
That's your role. So you make me on time. All of a sudden, you being low in time management is not a problem for you anymore because someone's always saying you need to go to this meeting now. You need to do this thing now. Even though they're a subordinate, you can still have them do that.
Mm-hmm.
They essentially become your external frontal lobe.
You tell them you own my time.
Exactly right. Which is why in large companies, it looks like the top executives always run on time. It's not them. It's their assistants.
That's right.
And everybody knows that.
That's
so they,
right.
They look like they're punctual, but they may be very low in the skill of time management.
So folks, here's the thing. There are 12 things that you need to know about yourself. That's what Chuck says. And some of them you are darn good at. Some of them, not so much. Let's find out the things that we're not so much good at and either fix ourselves to the degree that we can. Chuck says we can't do much. And then or find other resources that can help us fix those things. Chuck, thank you for being here. The book is called Smarts. I recommend it. Are We Hardwired for Success? Chuck, will you come back again?
Absolutely.
We enjoyed it having you here. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.